Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. And by the way, this is The Morning Show, and I'm Susie Prez, one of the hosts today.
And I'm your co-host sitting over here, Susie, Chris Bessler. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's nice to have you back, Chris.
And yeah.
We have a special show today.
We do. We have a good, a very interesting show, I think. We're going to be talking with Paul Cushy. He's the executive director of the Bonner County EDC. Paul, thank you for coming in.
Morning, Chris. Morning, Susie. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, and you have a good voice.
and we have the Bonner County EDC has a big event coming up just tomorrow. It's the What's Happening Up North Prospering Business Workshop. It's the third annual economic summit that the EDC has put on. A ton of great speakers. It's a day-long thing. It's free to attend, including a lunch.
Including a free lunch.
A free lunch. Can you believe that? And you can actually still sign up for it. You got to get signed up today within the next hour or two, I'd say.
Yeah, Paul. Next couple hours. We're breaking over 100, 120 participants.
So. Yeah. And you could do that if you're listening and you get inspired at whatshappeningupnorth.org on the website. And we're going to swing back and talk more about that. We're going to talk about the state of the local economy, some of the factors that are driving good business here. I mean, we have a pretty healthy economy, I think, but of course, we can always do better. And there are some problems that local companies are facing that I think Paul is going to talk about. And in fact, the whole conference is going to talk about. And we'll swing back to that.
And when you say economic development, we'll find out a little bit more of what that means in a beautiful little community in North Idaho. So that will be fun. This is, by the way, Wednesday, November 1st, the first day of November. And from the National Weather Service, we have a current temperature of 37 degrees. And I'm pretty sure everyone knows we have some interesting weather coming. They're calling it hazardous weather. We have a 70 to 60% chance of rain, snow, then rain likely, high today 43. Tonight, low of 31, an 80% chance of rain or snow, with a total snow accumulation a little bit. Let's see, no, maybe about an inch. And then Thursday and Friday is when the big snow comes, 100% chance. Heavy snow, 3 to 7 inches possible.
Yes, how do you like so, that? All of a sudden, it's winter.
Yeah. I've gotten out my snow shovel. I've sharpened it up. It's ready to go. Yeah.
My snowblower is not attached to the tractor yet.
Yet.
Right. Well, you know, the problem with an early snow like this is we haven't had all the leaves drop yet. So if you need to be raking leaves, it gets a lot more complicated here pretty shortly. So you still have to maybe a few hours, folks, to get out and rake those leaves if you want to avoid them being covered over by snow. But other things going on around town. We have a full moon coming up on Sunday. And the sunrise this morning was at 7:30 a.m. It's coming up pretty late now. It'll set at 5:27 p.m. tonight. In the last week, with the days getting shorter, we've lost 25 minutes of daylight each day. So we're getting into those dark days of winter. However, we hit the solstice in just a month and a half or so out. So it's you think about it that way, it's not that long before the days start getting longer.
Not too bad.
Lake Pendere is still being drawn down. It's now at 2053.39 feet. It's come down 1.7 feet in the past week, so that's a big drop in the lake. And of course, as you mentioned, we have a lot of snow in the forecast. Other things going on around town, Susie?
Well, a couple things. I just want to mention that we just completed the KRFY fall auction. It was a great success, thanks to so many businesses and organizations and individuals in our community. So we really want to give a shout out and say thank you for the wonderful support this community radio station receives from our community at large.
So. And that, of course, we depend entirely on contributions from the community. We don't get any tax money.
We're a nonprofit.
We're a nonprofit, and this is the lifeblood of our community radio station.
And so we're commercial free.
And we're commercial free.
You know, we have some underwriters, but you're not, you know, commercial attitudes don't really permeate what we're doing here.
And of course, we really put the focus on local programming shows like this one, the morning show, which plays every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we like to get out and do things in the community like we did on Monday, which was
the candidates for them at the community hall.
Yes, KRFY was a sponsor there along with Sandpoint Online and the Sandpoint Reader. Had a nice turnout of voters. There, I counted about 55 to 60 that came. This is for the Sandpoint City elections. The biggest disappointment was we didn't have a good turnout of candidates.
Right, kind of last-minute cancellations.
Yeah.
But the questions that were asked were very good. I was impressed with people's interest in what's going on in our community.
Yeah, yeah, we covered a ton of questions, and we think we might have got that recorded. We're not sure. We're checking into that. We hope to get that posted up on our website maybe later today. If that's the case, you could listen and hear it. But of course, we do have interviews with each of the candidates individually that we recorded during October, and those are all available on the KRFY website at krfy.org, and then click on the podcast page, and you'll see interviews with each of the six candidates that are running for the three open city council seats.
Right. I want to give a shout out to Jack Peterson, too, also, because we were able to live broadcast from the forum at the community hall, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. It was cool. So hopefully we had people listening. And I know we did have people listening in.
Mm-hmm.
Or in fact, we even received a
couple
question,
questions.
Questions that were emailed in during the course of the show from people that were listening live online. And other things going on around town. I guess there's a pretty cool concert coming to the Panada tomorrow, right?
On Thursday night.
On Thursday night. Kitchen Dwellers, Horseshoes, and Hand Grenades is the name of the group. Susie, you know anything about them?
I don't know. I'm working at the Panada that night, but I have heard that they're a very good group. A little bluegrassy, new grassy kind of thing. But I'm not positive about that.
Okay.
You know, we'll find out, won't we?
They're probably good, because so many of the musicians that come swinging through town really are. And another big event coming up on Saturday is a fundraiser for the Cancer Community Services, A Night to Remember. That's an annual event. I believe we have a CCS individual coming in to talk.
They were here yesterday.
They were here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That
Cindy Marks and Stephanie Allen.
Okay.
Were here.
Okay, great. You could listen to that on our podcast page if you missed it. And of course, there's a ton of other things going on around town. You can find out more about the community events calendar on the KRFY website, krfy.org, or Sandpoint Online, which provides the calendars for us. And probably one of the biggest things happening in town is the upcoming What's Happening Up North conference, which happens tomorrow. Again, we have Paul Cushy. He's the executive director of the Bonner County EDC with us. And we're going to talk about that that event tomorrow some more, Paul. But first of all, for the folks that may not be acquainted, can you tell us what Bonner County EDC, the Economic Development Corporation, what it does?
Well, let me just step back and do a little bit of the same introduction I did up at Rotary last week. And the Bonner County EDC was formed in 2000, you know, for the specific purpose of attracting and assisting, you know, businesses to help grow the economy here in Sandpoint. It is a private nonprofit corporation, so rather than being a commission or being a part of staff. So we are like you, like KFR, we are privately funded and always looking for funding support.
Your board is local business people, right?
Yeah, board is all local business people with some University of Idaho representation as well as Bonner County representation. Includes members from Priest River, Sandpoint, Bonner, all over Bonner County. So it's not just Sandpoint. We specifically look at the whole picture and all the needs across Bonner County.
So in the pursuit of a healthy economy here, what kind of activities do you do?
There's three elements of economic development: attraction, growth, and retention. And so one of the things we spend a lot of time on is retention. How do we keep businesses? How do we support businesses with their needs? Particularly programs like 63602NN, which is a property tax exemption, that was put into statute by the state a number of years ago. And in this last year, we've gotten the investment limit dropped from $3 million down to $500,000, which is allowing us now to go out and help smaller businesses, which are the core of what's going on here in, you know, in Sandpoint and Bonner County, the smaller business to, you know, to grow. So if a company is building $1.5 million expansion, is going to be adding 10 jobs, you know, we can take that strategy and that growth plan to the county commissioners and request that they be exempt from property tax on the incremental investment, not on their total, but on the incremental investment, excluding land. So it's a nice little gift.
Good incentive.
A good incentive. It's one of the few that really the state of Idaho has available, you know, other than the tax reimbursement incentive, which has a whole bunch of conditions associated with it. This is the closest thing to a direct incentive that we have for business. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of my time, you know, sharing with people the state programs that are available through the Department of Commerce, as well as using my 43 years in business and experience to help solve problems, mm-hmm. you know, to get people engaged in what their businesses need. You know, Quest is running a van pool. If it hadn't been for the Bonner County EDC, that van pool might not have existed. And that's so they can bring employees in from Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls, which really starts talking about one of the heart of the issues that we have here, and that's just workforce availability and workforce development. It is a struggle, you know.
Yeah, and that's going to continue to be a big issue of what when you look at the demographics that are coming up, and not just in Idaho, but across the board, which makes it even more competitive for Idaho.
Yeah, when you look at the profile of growth. You know, our growth is for those who are in the 55 to 65 to older age group. You know, we're becoming rapidly a retirement community out here. Our employed growth is slow. It's, you know, less 1-2% in that call it 18 to 50 group. You know, it's just really a slow process. So that presents a problem. It really, really does. I just finished a survey of about 40 manufacturers here in the area. And, you know, at that time, there were over 75 open jobs, open positions, you know, across the manufacturing sector here in the area. That's like bringing in a couple of companies, you know, and getting those jobs filled requires skill and requires recruitment. They're going outside the area because the talent is not here, or we're working obviously with NIC and with the high schools to train to figure out how we can get, you know, youth trained to you know, to be able to step in and do some of the manufacturing jobs that are a core of our community.
One of the questions I have been thinking about when I was thinking about your coming in and talking to us today, you know, kind of balance between, we're a recreational community. We are, probably most of our revenue comes from, you know, Schweitzer and vacations and things like that. There's probably a name for it I'm not thinking of. But how do you balance that with, you say, 40 manufacturing? There's also, so that they both meet each other. You don't want to become an industrial area because that would kind of negate your recreational kind of mood and feel for the area.
Yeah, the recreational asset that we have here is really our drawing card to attracting what we call, what we would like to see, which is more high-tech businesses. The more quality jobs that pay better than county average that we can bring in here, the better off this community will be. You know, jobs like the jobs from Cochabamba, you know, are very important to us. But on the same token, you know, the jobs that are there at Quest are not just the pack, the jar in the box kind of jobs. You know, even the lighthouse jobs are transitioning now into much more technical jobs.
Much more skilled.
Much more skilled.
Yeah, and Quest in particular, of course, builds airplanes.
Yep,
and Quest that big. Requires some real specific skills.
Right, yeah.
Those are kind of like the clean industry.
Yeah.
It's still industry, but it's clean. And so how does something like the smelter they're trying to put in Newport, which will directly affect the air quality and possibly more quality of our area, since we're downriver from the smelter and the potential air quality problems. How does that play into what your organization looks at?
I just got a copy of a presentation on the Silicon Steel facility. I haven't had a chance to really look at it, but the number of jobs out there for the community, you know, is staggering. You know,
it's significant. It's very, there's several very hundred for construction, and then ongoing, there's 150
right.
plus.
I think it will impact the employment base, you know, reaching all the way over to Sandpoint, although mostly my expectation will be south into Spokane. You know, I'm not familiar with what environmental conditions there are. I've seen a profile, but I'm not environmental science, so I can't tell you whether that's good, bad, ugly, or whatever.
Well, that was just an example. Yeah, but when you're looking at bringing in manufacturing jobs, or you're trying, as you said, looking at keeping the balance with our recreation and our way of living and our kind of the good things about being up here.
Yeah, we don't actively pursue a smelter. We don't actively pursue a mining company, although we have looked at a couple of mining companies that have looked at some of our property, but they were rebuilding equipment and doing engineering for the mining industry for that. So that's equipment that was coming into town and then would have left town, you know, for the use outside of the area. So there's, you know, so to me, the technical jobs are what's really critical. And that's, and it is hard to attract manufacturing because of the distance that we are from markets, because of the logistic cost of getting up and down the highway, you know, because of the lack of a large labor pool here. You know, I had to laugh when I read that. I read that folder on the steel piece, and you know, they talked about attracting employment all the way from, you know, Bonner County, you know, into Spokane, and you know, to list Bonner County as a manpower resource is silly. I'm sorry, you know, the manufacturing groups that I talk to a lot, you know, are looking for skilled talent, you know, and trying to attract skilled talent.
Yeah, but probably would be helpful for Priest River, though. It's right adjacent to Newport. So I would assume that they're looking at the Priest River area as a potential.
It would obviously employ some people who may not be employed, but I would also tell you that it will hurt companies like Aeroset, who are part of our aerospace industry, very good jobs and a great company that is growing, you know, so now they're going to have some pressure.
And Aeroset's based in Priest River.
And Aeroset is based in Priest River. That's right.
Yeah, we're in a funny situation. We want to encourage job growth, but we got to have people to work in those jobs.
Yeah. And to finish that, the people that are coming are the people that don't want jobs.
Yeah, because we have a lot of retirees.
A lot of retirees coming in. In fact,
there's some interesting statistics that have come out. Our population in I know a little bit about this because there's a story coming up in Sandpoint Magazine. Our population is growing about where they expected it to grow 15 years ago, the state economists, when they were looking at projected population trends. But it's growing much faster in retirees, and the millennials, which are our young active workforce, that number is way down below what was projected to be here 15 years ago. So what's happening is we have a lot of old folks moving in. A lot of them are retirees or near retirement. But that vital segment of our demographic, the millennials, is going wanting here. And that's coming back, I think, because there haven't been traditionally job opportunities for them. But now things are switching around.
Yeah. The ability to attract and maintain our students as they depart, you know, out of the area, get trained somewhere out of the area to come back. You know, it takes quality jobs to get them back. And, you know, we've talked about it all the time at board meetings, you know, about if a son goes out and decides to get a law degree, is he going to come back to Sandpoint to practice law? Well, it depends on the kind of law he might be wanting to practice, but most likely not. And those are extreme. Those are well-educated mm-hmm. people. You know, for me, the one reason why the summit is, you know, and we can talk about the summit in a few minutes, but the summit is talking about education and talking about workforce training, is we need to be doing more and more locally to train our youth who are not college bound, who are skilled worker, could be skilled workers.
Technical training programs.
With the mm-hmm. right, with getting the right focus.
Mm-hmm. And if you've just tuned in to 88.5 KRFY, you're listening to The Morning Show with Chris and Susie, and we're speaking with Paul Cushy. He's from the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation, and they have a big event coming up that we'll hear about in a little bit. But we're really talking about the climate of keeping this area viable and sustainable and economically strong.
Yeah, but let's touch on that for a little bit more. We definitely got a lot to talk about with the summit itself coming tomorrow. But there's been so much press lately about Amazon looking for their second headquarters. It's a huge undertaking for them. They're projecting they're going to have 50,000 jobs wherever they site this thing. One of the folks in my office yesterday was saying, Sandpoint should be trying for that.
Please don't.
Please don't. The rest of the folks in my office were like, you must be crazy. Because our county population was about 40,000.
Yeah.
We'd have to move approximately 50,000 people in there just to take the jobs.
Right.
So that's not practical for us. But for the large cities that are bidding on this job, like Denver, Spokane's got their name in the hat. And I know there's cities across the country. They're providing some huge incentives to try to convince Amazon to move there. What's in your bag of tricks when you talk to smaller companies about what kind of things can you pitch to a smaller company as an asset for locating here?
Well, I have a list on my desk of the 11 variables that are used to relocate a company or to start up a company like an Amazon. I just spent 2 days with Hickey and Associates in the area who are site locators, and they had never been here. They wanted to learn a little bit about, you know, North Idaho, and we showed them around Bonner County and took them on a tour. And when you look at those 11 conditions, you know, number one is availability of workforce. Number two is location to market. Number three is available land. You start going down that list and you really realize that it is how difficult it is to recruit businesses to our area. We have expensive land, you know, we have some of it available. We have some good controls, some good green space, and we want to maintain that green space. We have a great recreational piece. So it is, if you go down and do that ranking down to 11 variables and ask yourself, would you come to Sandpoint? You reach the bottom and say, well, that's not going to work.
It's kind of
so why do they come? So people come here, businesses come here because the senior leadership of the businesses want to be here. They want to live and work in this environment. They want a work play environment. You know, we often say, we mean business, but don't forget your toys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, you know, come be part of an active world economy if you can be, but don't forget this is a recreational thing. And a lot of what we live and breathe on is recreation.
And lifestyle is the huge benefit that we can offer. Like you said, it takes that senior management, the guys that can make the decision and say, hey, you know what? I want to live there. I'm going to take my company there.
Well, and you get companies like Timberline today. Timberline Helicopter was in the paper a month or so ago about moving to Athol. Well, they moved to Athol because of land. They needed some space to fly in and out those big, you know, those choppers. They're working out of a very small warehouse. You know, there really wasn't space available, for them. but they wanted to stay close, as close as they could to the recreational side of the world, but they wanted to get closer to their labor force. So you kind of go to Athol and go, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, there's a land, there's space. They can get FAA clearance. You know, they're not going to be bothering people flying in and out, the big Hueys if they decide to go, or the Blackhawks if they fly in and out. But, so they're kind of an interesting combination. Mm-hmm. We have some people that just want to, Thorne just got enticed with Carolina money and basically said, I can't, we can't stay here. We can't get the labor. We're growing too fast. And the CEO lives in New York and the COO lives in Carolina and they have to take 3 airplane flights and drive an hour and a half and work with people who want to live in a recreational community and they want to go home at 5 and they want to come back in at 8. They don't want to work till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. There's a real conflict for the leadership of that company, which are part of part of many variables, huge variables that drove them to depart, and they'll be gone at the end of 18. But
and that's a hit on the community. But
it is.
We have other companies that are coming along.
We're back. Yeah. Well, those jobs will get backfilled. I have interest on the part of a couple of companies out of Seattle for the Thorne building. We're kind of working our way. It's a slow process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we can backfill that, that'll be backfill that business. That'll be great. But it'll start with a small business. It won't be. It won't be the 300 employees. It'll be 40, 50, even lower than that, that'll come in. Mm-hmm. But, our growth in our economy is really coming generically. It's really coming from the current businesses who are here or adding, 5, 10, 15 jobs. Mm-hmm. And even my former lighthouse is growing very, very nicely. Mm-hmm. Their work, their investment on their Ella facility is tremendous and a good show of commitment to this community.
Yeah, great success story for Sandpoint. And as well, they sell their products across the country. They're actually, I believe they're the second largest fresh dressing manufacturer in the country.
Yeah, the really it's kind of funny because they are the number one refrigerated dressing manufacturer in North America.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah. All of Canada, all of U.S. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, right out of Sandpoint. And we have a big event coming up tomorrow. It's the Economic Summit. People can still get signed up at whatshappeningupnorth.org. We want to come back and dive into that because that's going to be talking about a lot of the issues that you're talking about with our workforce development. But first.
And this whole discussion really brings up a lot of questions. I mean, just standing back and being objective, we have this beautiful area. We love our quality of life. It is the number one thing about this area. And why grow the economy? So there's a lot of discussion. I'm sure the economic summit that's coming up will be really interesting. We'll hear all about that. But first, as Chris just said, in 1969, the Beatles released their 13th number one album, and it was their last studio album for the group, the Beatles. And here's a song from that album. It's called Here Comes the Sun, and I'm hoping that's true.
Yeah, and we'll be right back.
And that was the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. And this is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie on this Wednesday, November 1st, right here at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Mm-hmm.
And we're talking this morning with Paul Cushy. He's the executive director of the Bonner County EDC with probably the group's biggest event of the year coming up just tomorrow. It's the What's Happening Up North Prospering Business Workshop for 2017, third annual one of these. We'll throw this out. You can still get signed up for it if you want to attend. It's a day-long summit, starts at 7. Actually, there's a continental breakfast that's included. They have a ton of presenters we're going to talk about here in a second. It wraps up by 3, and it is free, and you can get registered if you go to whatshappeningupnorth.org. But you should do that within the next hour or so because they're going to be closing that off. And Paul, Tell us about the theme this year, which we've talked about a little bit already. It's a growing smart workforce, education and technical training. Why did you decide to focus the summit on that this year?
When we were involved in the summit last year, we had a very lively dialogue, with Lieutenant Governor Brad Little and Bobby Joe and that whole group about education, and the interest seemed to be very strong to continue that discussion. It was a great, Brad did a great job talking about education and the support from the state, and we really wanted to continue that dialogue. You know, a lot of encouragement came from Geraldine and the PAFE group.
Panhandle Alliance
for Education. Yeah. Can we have this discussion continue next year? So we started down that theme. But I haven't wandered away from the format that I created 3 years ago, because I think it's important that we hear from a couple of businesses. So we're going to hear from Dietrich Roasters, on why Sandpoint, why are they here? Why is it important for them to be here and talk? And in light of education and jobs and workforce, they're going to talk about their job needs. They're talk about their skill needs, and then we're also going to hear from Encoder. And we all may forget that Encoder was a company that actually started up here at Sandpoint, moved down to the West Mound area, in a beautiful facility, and they're kind of off the beaten path, but they're excited about coming up and telling the Encoder story and talking about their job needs and how they're growing. So it'll be good to hear from those two. We're also, we've brought back our Northwest or our region labor analyst, a young guy who is a millennial.
He's a millennial, but he's a heck of a speaker.
Sam Okenhauer is wonderful. it's really by popular demand, because every time we get done, everybody says we got to bring him back, and he loves to do this. He will show us one more time in great detail the old aging issue that we have and how our workforce availability is declining. He often talks not about unemployment percentages, because that's kind of a fictitious number, but he really talks more about the availability of jobs. And we all need to remember that at the peak we had about 22,000 jobs around here. Mm-hmm. And we're really back up to 18,000-19,000 jobs. So we still have not closed the job gap, that existed in Bonner County.
10 years ago.
Yeah. And what were those jobs that were lost?
A lot of those jobs were forest jobs. Okay. A lot of those jobs were construction jobs. So when you look at this, look at the industry dynamics, you see that construction is declining, forestry is declining, then you look at manufacturing is flat, and then you see healthcare. Huge rise in the double digits, 20s, 23, 24% growth in jobs and healthcare, for Bonner County. So that reflects our changing dynamic of the population. And Sam will bring us up to date on that, which is great for everybody to see and remember why we're doing this.
And Sam is the super numbers guy. So the stuff he talks about is all statistically based, and it's fascinating because these numbers tell a story, and he does a great job of that.
And he's a lot of fun. And I'm going to go. I have not spoken in the last 2 years. I've been behind the scenes and kind of stirring the pot and making sure things are moving along. And I'm going to speak briefly about an assessment of labor and training needs that we did among the manufacturers, because I think that sets the tone for, what are we doing in education to help support the students who are in our high schools, who are at our technical centers, who want good career jobs, need good training, and what are the skills that our manufacturing core are looking for? Obviously, our hospitality group are looking for skills in hospitality and things like that. But the businesses we worked with, we talked about, in this survey represent over 1,000 manufacturing jobs in this county, mm-hmm. which is a big cross section.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually we have a surprising amount of manufacturing jobs for the size of our town.
We do.
And a lot of people don't know that. They think, I mean, the mine instantly goes to tourism as a main job source here. And there are a lot of tourism jobs. It's an important part of the economy. But we have a very diverse economy.
Right. Yeah.
And,
right.
And that's really good. I'm, you know, that we have a diverse economy from the manufacturing through the, tourism, you know, as well as the healthcare. And it's a very, it's balanced for, you know, and it matches with our age profiles here.
And a big chunk of the workshop tomorrow, the summit, is going to be devoted to talking about education.
Right. Yeah, we've reached out to the three school districts in the area, West Bonner and Boundary, and our Lake Ponderay group. You know, it's going to be we're actually going to have a lot more dialogue while we're there. Sean is going to run a little workshop to try and help answer some of the questions.
It's like Sean Woodward.
Sean Woodward is our superintendent of Lake Ponderay. Yes, he, you know, he's going to just ask some questions about, you know, what are our schools districts doing well? What are some challenges requiring attention for the next 5 years? What are some of the initiatives the district should be investing in? And this is a good chance, you know, for this group to have some dialogue. And we haven't done that in the first 2 years, you know, so we've decided to see if we can open up participation and not lecture so much as listen. And I think it'll be good.
So the attendees will be breaking out into some small groups to talk about.
Yeah, we'll see how it works. Yeah. It'll be fun.
This is an action-packed event you have here. I mean, every minute is filled up, and it's covering the full spectrum of development of our economy here, and from the workforce to the education to the possibilities.
Yeah, we shouldn't forget that, you know, our keynote speaker is our beloved, you know, Sean Keogh, who is retiring, and with great regret from all of us.
Idaho
State Senator, you know, chairman of the Jaffa Committee, the financing group, and all. And
the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee, which controls the purse strings of the state. Right. It's actually one of the most important legislative.
Most powerful groups.
Yeah, too. Most powerful groups in the entire state. Yeah. And she's been involved with education and education funding for the state. For years and years.
Right. Yeah. So she's going to come up, and I've tried to get her to come the last 2 years. And I finally, after last year, she said she couldn't make it. And I finally put it on her calendar. I said, look, you got to block this day. You can't do anything else but come join us. And then we get a retirement, you know. So she said, well, can I still come? I said, absolutely. Yeah. She'll be too valuable.
She'll be in the legislature this year. Yep. So this will be her last year before retires out in 2018. Yeah.
And then we've got a whole plethora of activities from the high school to PTAC to, you know, to Clark Fork, you know, talking about their apprenticeship programs or their internship programs. Risha Lasso from the Department of Labor is going to talk about registered apprenticeships and workforce development. You know, the MakerPoint people that just bought the assets and are taking our MakerPoint. Which was a privately owned shop, you know, now going to become a public, you know, nonprofit organization. And Will Kroc, who is the, you know, controller for Quest, and a group have picked this up to keep it going. And so he's going to talk about the training opportunities and the skill development opportunities that there are at MakerPoint, you know. And then we'll get into Megan Lawson, who is our economist from Headwater Economics that works with us very closely on these activities, will spend about a half an hour and, you know, talking to us about about, you know, getting some feedback on what are the solutions out there for workforce development, what other ideas are there, getting some more feedback, you know. And then we've got Encoder will be at the end, as we talked about, and then. And to get an absolutely odd, off the wall point of view, you know, we had an opportunity to throw one of our gubernatorial candidates into the mix and say, here, you tell us what you think. So
a businessman himself.
A very big businessman in Boise and a very important character. And, you know, so I thought, well, what the heck? Yeah. Why not?
And that's Tommy Ahlquist.
It's Tommy Ahlquist. Yes. Yeah, he's an MD and a businessman and been involved in developments, you know. But, we've had, over the last 3 years, we've had the governor here. We've had lieutenant governor here. We've had a director of commerce here. We've all kinds of people from all over the state. Love having them all here. Let's just try this one.
Well, this is great for us to get that perspective from Boise. Boise is the seat of legislative power and executive power in the state. And to have somebody that's so involved with that business community, and who knows, he could end up being governor.
Yeah.
This is your third year doing this?
This is my third year.
Well, what do you hope someone would get or gain from attending this workshop tomorrow?
I would hope people would come away excited and engaged about the opportunities that do exist out there for CTE training. You know, that we can take this message back to our high schools and our colleges like NIC and let them understand that there are technical jobs here and there is technical training available. It may be splintered off and it needs to be pulled together. But there's definitely a nucleus of technical training activities out there that youth come in high school can get attached to, they can build a career around. You know, I really, over the years, I've watched some of the European school systems, and they intentionally split people into groups. You're a college, you're going to technical, you know.
At a young age.
They get
tracked onto something.
We kind of work with our students, you know, and some of them will take off to college and find that college doesn't work, and they come back, and now what do they do with their life? So, you know, my interest would be, can we help them focus on a career early that gets them into a point where they can make a great contribution to this community, you know. And so, you know, whether it's technical welding, whether it's wiring harnesses and things like, whether it's programming, whether it's the work that's done, you know, through internships with Kachava, internships with, with other companies, you know, those are great introductions for kids to learn skills that are life skills.
It sounds like clarifying the big picture.
Yep.
It's a great forum for local employers, anybody that has a business, to be attending, contributing their ideas for workforce development, but also talking about their needs so that an organization like the Bonner County EDC or Headwaters Economics or the state folks that are there can help identify what these needs are and help design the solutions to them.
Yep.
And it does come down to workforce training. Right now, my little company that I'm involved with, we're looking for fill one job, and we need a very specific set of skills for that. And I don't know if we're going to be able to pull that from this community. So that's always the first choice for us, is hire locally and employ somebody that maybe we can train them up to the job if they show the aptitude, and we're willing to do that. But It's I understand the workforce need thing from kind of the micro position here.
Well, but that's one job is a great example. Mm-hmm. We have companies, you know, we're starting a registered apprenticeship with one company in CAD, and we're getting these guys trained to be able to do mechanical drawing and CAD work for structural steel. You know, when they are trained and up and running, the company then now has the ability to hire four more people per CAD operator. Mm-hmm. Without that CAD operator to support the physical structural building of the steel, inside the plant, mm-hmm. you know, they can't grow. So how do we help them grow? You know, and then, which then adds more jobs. You know, that's kind of the nucleus of my, you know, you see my passion on my face, and I just kind of would love to see more of that happening.
Mm-hmm. So this is all what's going to be on the table tomorrow under discussion at the What's Happening Up North Prosperous Business Workshop, third annual one that the Bonner County EDC has put on. You can still get registered, but you got to hurry, probably have till 11 o'clock or so, and you can do that at whatshappeningupnorth.org. It's free, and it's really a great informative thing.
Action-packed.
Action-packed. We're going to have to transition out in a minute here, Paul, but I did want to swing back around to bring up one thing that you mentioned earlier, that the commercial kitchen, which is a place that kind of grows entrepreneurial food companies and was a big part of the local scene here for many years at the business incubator, kind of went away when that business building went into another use, but there's a chance it might come back.
Yeah, I've been working on it for, well, probably 12 months, probably over a year, trying to find locations and work on options and things. And we recently had an opportunity, the Bonner County EDC had an opportunity to apply for a business development grant from the Northwest Business Development Association. And as I prepped that grant, you know, specifically for a commercial kitchen, you know, I really realized what an asset we had that we're missing, you know, and to be able to run it as a nonprofit, to be able to have it, you know, not be burdened with a lot of, you know, debt or overhead, you know, would be tremendous for this community. The equipment's available. It's in the possession of the county. It's over in a warehouse, and
it just needs a location.
It just needs a location to fire it up. So yeah. We, you know, the Bonner County EDC, you know, was granted a $30,000 grant, you know, to help put this kitchen into play. So now the onus is on me. I got to get back to work. You know, we got to go make sure this location works. We're working with architects and engineers to make sure we have all the utilities and stuff that can be come in. Working with the Department of Commerce for engineering design grant. Working with other community foundations, because it's not cheap to install kitchen equipment. And so we are hoping that, you know, call it 6 months, you know, we have a live, active commercial kitchen certified. Mm-hmm. You know, you can rent it 24 hours a day, and, you know, we can be back to helping our entrepreneurial food companies.
Yep. Small revisit, companies.
You know, yeah, you bet. And we're working with Boundary County Economic Council on with them, because they have a number of businesses out there that also need this service. So we're all kind of teaming up, saying, let's figure out how to make this a reality. Mm-hmm. So we're still working.
That's exciting.
Still a process. Oh yeah, it is exciting. But boy, I tell you, now I have to really go to work.
Get some of those volunteers.
Yeah.
To help you out.
A bit of news right here on the morning show.
Breaking news.
Well, Paul, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much, Paul.
Best. Cushing, always fun.
From the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation. It's really interesting, this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to put on a song right now, Chris. We're going to go into a little bit of what's going on. And then we're going to have a special song as we go out in about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So what is going on tonight? Project 7B fundraiser at the Idaho Poor Authority. They're hosting this fundraiser with Founders Brewing Company. And it's another one of those great Idaho Poor Authority fundraisers. It's usually on a Wednesday night, too. We have one coming up December 13th for KRFY. Just throw that out. Also, tonight, the Idaho Invention Group meeting. So there's an Idaho Invention Group Entrepreneurs Workshop, Inventors Workshop International and Entrepreneurial. And you can call 509-675-7083. To find out more about that. That's actually today at 1 p.m. And what else do we have, Chris?
Well, also today, the Project 7B is having a fundraiser at the Idaho Poor Authority. That's from 5 to 8 p.m.
Well, now people really know about it twice.
Twice.
Oh, you mentioned that.
You weren't listening, right? That's okay.
I was checking out the calendar.
Yeah, I got it. On that. Yeah, I do those kind of things all the time. There's an Alzheimer's support group tomorrow for families, caregivers, and friends. Yeah. Of those with Alzheimer's, dementia, and related disorders, and all are welcome to attend. That's at 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sandpoint Senior Center. You can call 265-8127 for more information. And let's see, I'm just always watching my clock here. Tomorrow on the morning show with Jack and Jim Jack Peterson and Jim Healy. Their guests will be Audrey Buck and Mary Kaiser from the Bonner General Hospital, who will talk about the upcoming Diabetes Day. A second interview will be with organizers of the Sandpoint Film Festival that's coming up this weekend. And that is tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. That's called The Morning Show. Next week on The Morning Show, Vote, Vote, Vote Day on Tuesday, right?
That's right.
We all want everyone to get out and vote. The city's
having...
You've
got to be a city resident. City of Sandpoint has voting. You go to your regular polling place to vote. Of course, there are also elections in Ponderay. They have some contested elections. And I think most of the other local cities don't actually have contested elections. But if you live in those cities... like Kootenai or Dover, you should check it out and see. It's always good to vote.
Let's strengthen our democracy here by voting.
Exercise.
And Tuesday on The Morning Show, Julie Calamine and Phil Huff, their guests will be Sandy Compton, Trish Gannon, and Ernie Hawks. They'll be musings about the River Journal. I think you kind of already did that, but it's always good. It was a great
Sandy periodical. Is wonderful to listen to.
Well, we're going to have some storytelling that morning.
That's right.
And next week, Chris, our guest will be, well, we're going to have the city council. Ben Olson will be in. He said he'd come in and...
a little review of what the results are from the city council election,
And a second interview will be with the Farmers Holiday Market people.
And Ben Olson is with the Sandpoint Reader.
Sandpoint Reader. We'll look at what happened the night before and who won and who's going to do what, when, where. Yeah. And let's see. We're not quite there.
Well, I think we should probably give a little acknowledgement to Game 7 of the World Series.
Oh, my gosh, that's tonight, isn't it?
That's tonight. It's been a heck of a good series. I don't watch baseball normally, but I did catch some of these games, and they were actually – it was good. Of course, you got to go for the West Coast team. It's the Dodgers versus the Astros.
What? You mean you're for the Dodgers?
I was born and raised in Pasadena, California. I am a dyed-in-the-wool Dodger fan.
Oh my goodness.
At one of the opening games when Dodger Stadium was built as a kid. So
that's a big stadium, too. It holds the most people ever, like 56,000 people.
I tell you my age. I grew up in the era of Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax.
Really?
Yes.
You got to see the greats.
I got to see some great baseball.
So you're going to be watching tonight?
I will turn it
probably on. Probably be 5 o'clock as usual.
Right.
And you're right. And I don't know. I kind of like both teams, so I guess we're all going to be happy.
They're both really skilled teams. They're deep benches. They've had some real big hitting in this series.
You kind of almost root for Houston because they've never been there, never been in a series. You know, to be 56 years in as a franchise and have this opportunity. So you kind of the underdog story really comes up really nice.
Yeah. Well, it's easy for me to stick with the Dodgers.
Okay, I get it. I will be watching it somewhere. I'm not sure where, but also tomorrow night, the Clean Energy Public Hearing. Communities around the country are working to put an end to coal-fired power plants, the number one contributor to climate change. So you can join the Sandpoint Idaho Conservation League staff in a phone conference public hearing with the Idaho Public Utilities Commission. And that will be at the hearing starts at 7. And you can call 265-9565 to hear more. And we are out of time because there's a really special song I want to play. We hope everyone has a beautiful day. And it is snow is on its way. But this is Josh Ritter's. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I wanted to hear about the song.
Okay, this is Josh Ritter's from his new CD called The Gathering or Gathering. And it's a really great song called Showboat. We hope you have a beautiful day.
Yeah, bye now.